owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. It's a beautiful line from our second reading today, but in a sense it encompasses, as St. Paul says, the whole of our Christian life. Love of God and love of neighbor. And it's really the heart, as Paul says, of the keeping of the commandments, of the keeping of the law. And for us, perhaps, it's the center for our reflection of our scripture readings. And in a sense, the scriptures today help us to unpack what exactly does that mean. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so why are we taking up this collection for these people who live far away? Because they are our neighbor and because we love them and we care about them. Why do we lift them up in prayer? Because they are our neighbors and we love them and so we care about them. And we have seen the response across the country this past couple of weeks, and we see the current concern, of course, for the people who have just experienced Irma or the people in Florida who are experiencing it as well. Why? Because we love them, and so we care about them. And when we think about loving our neighbor and caring for them, in one sense, that kind of positive response not only is perhaps instinctive and natural to us, but also, in a sense, it's something that we like. We feel good about those kind of responses. Our scriptures today also, though, remind us that to love one another, to truly care about one another, is a bigger challenge than that. Part of it has to do with how we treat each other in the ordinary parts of everyday life. And so, and being kind and patient and living those virtues is a way that we show love for one another. But our scriptures today, our gospel and our first reading as well, challenge us when things aren't going so well to continue to respond out of love for our neighbor. One of the easy temptations that it happens again and again and again is to say, well, I'll let it slide. I'll let it slide. And it's an easy way out, and sometimes it's a good choice, especially if we can recognize that what this is really about is me. You know, because I'm upset, because I've been dissed, because I didn't get my way, because somebody said something that I didn't like, because I think somebody was could have been better to me, because, you know, and what is about me. And the right thing, perhaps, to do is to say nothing. Because whose problem is it really? It's really my problem. And I need to deal with it. I need to get over it. I need to perhaps be a little bit more mature and be a little bit more loving towards this person who may have not had any intention of harming me, of insulting me, of doing bad by me. There was just my response. And so sometimes letting it slide really is the most loving response that we can give. However, that's not always true. It's not always true when somebody says something or somebody does something and it really isn't right. And for then, if we say, well, I just won't say anything, what happens? Well, two things happen. The first thing that happens is it was okay for that other person to say or to do whatever that other person said or did because nobody called them on it. I didn't. The other people around didn't, so it must be okay. Secondly, so very often what happens is that we don't let go of it. we remember what happens. And we don't say anything, but we put it in our little vault. You know, the little vault of so-and-so who did me wrong. And we kind of let it go for now. But then what happens? Sometime downstream, something else happens. And it may, and then somebody says something and somebody responds, and then you're into it. And what happens so often? Well, what happens so often is that if I was the person who felt wrong and I'm going to bring it up, so I'll bring up what just happened and we're going to get into it. And then if we get some resistance about that, it's okay. Why? Because I got what it's in my vault. And so I open that up and say, and what about when you... And in some cases, what do we have? We have a very nice set of deposits that we have built up. And we have an awful lot that we can do. Of course, if that's been the pattern, our other person may also have their little vaults with their deposits. And they say, and what about when you... And so instead of this one thing that happened that was wrong, it suddenly becomes something like Hurricane Irma. It's a Category 5 off of a bad breeze, and the whole thing blows up. And that can blow up relationships, that can blow up friendships, it can blow up marriages. Because we didn't love one another enough in the moment to sit down and have the conversation and work it through. We didn't care enough for one another to try and seek a good and healthy resolution when we could have. And maybe it isn't in the moment because we're too upset. The gospel doesn't say anything about that. But it does say, if something happens, then approach them at the right time. And try and work it out with that person. And how often do we skip that step? How often do all kinds of other people hear about it? And of course, today, with technology, it can go right up. Tweet can go out, Facebook posts can go out, and we've let all of our friends know about what happened and how badly we were treated, and we've never approached the person. In the gospel, Jesus says, if it doesn't work one-on-one, then maybe think about sitting down with someone else and trying to work it out with someone else so that together, maybe with a third party or a fourth party, you can work it out and heal it and make peace. But that isn't going to be very likely if we don't do the first step of one-on-one. Then Jesus says, bring it to the community of the church. If it's a community issue, yes. And that community can be the community of the church, it can be the community of the neighborhood, it can be the community of the city, it can be a national issue or a world issue. And how often do we have these intractable problems because on these big issues, as a community, we haven't come together to address them and to work them through and to find a way to respond that is fair and just and a resolution that's going to be peaceful and a resolution that's going to be truly loving for everyone. That's the gospel standard, whether it's personally or whether it's community. The last part of that gospel is something that we have to also attend to. Unfortunately, when it says, well, if none of this works, treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. Unfortunately, in the Christian tradition, those lines have been used as the justification for shunning people. And that's not the intention, I think, of the gospel at all. Because when we think about treat them as you would a Gentile or a tax collector, what do we see in the scriptures? Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. And so what did Jesus get accused of doing? Associating with the sinners and the tax collectors. Oh, treat them as you would a tax collector, a sinner. What did Jesus do? Engage them. The Gentiles, what did Jesus do? Engage them. What did St. Paul do? Go to them and share the gospel message with them. What does it mean for us? It means for us that we still respond in love. Maybe our communion is broken, and so they're not part of our community. True. But what do? We respond to them with love. We engage with the gospel. We engage with the love and the compassion of Christ. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. It's a call to love and service and compassion, certainly. But it is also wisdom for us in dealing with the difficulties, the challenges, the hurts, the wounded and broken relationships that exist within us and among us. And when we can fully live that, we can truly have communion. When we truly live that, we can be reconciled. When we truly live that, so many of the problems and challenges that face our world, that face our country, that face our community, can find resolution, and we can go forward in joy, in communion, in hope, because we have simply heard and sought to live the gospel, to love one another.